morning. This is Matt Winters, editor of the Chinook Observer in Long Beach, Washington. I'm here live this morning at KMUN with Terry Wilson. And with me this morning on this program that we do in cooperation with the Daily Astorian and KMUN are Carla Reinhart and Alan Kraft from Ocean Beach Hospital in Iwako. And there are a lot of really wonderful and interesting things happening at the hospital in recent years, and I thought it'd be great to get together this morning and at least begin addressing some of those subjects, and then we may come back at some future point and do some additional conversation on related medical care topics in Pacific County and the Long Beach Peninsula. In particular, I thought this morning I'd start out with some brief biographical summaries from you both, and so people will know who is talking and what you're all about. Carla, I know that you and your husband just fairly recently moved to the area from Kalispell, which gets its precipitation in an entirely different form than we do here.
That's correct.
And your husband is interestingly employed, too. Can you tell us a little bit about your lives and times here in Astoria, where you live?
Well, we moved here 3 years ago from Kalispell, Montana. We live over on the South Slope here in Astoria. I've been an RN for 22 years and went to school at Frontier School of Midwifery and Family Nursing out of Kentucky. Mm-hmm. 3 years ago, finished with my family nurse practitioner license, and have a special interest in women's health as I worked for 22 years as an RN in women's health, labor, and delivery, and then decided to pursue a little bit further education and be able to offer patients a little bit more, being a provider. I have also taught nursing programs and specialized in women's health for that. My husband's a retired pharmacist. He worked 30 years in hospital pharmacy and now does Chinese herbal medicine mm-hmm. here in town.
Which people can avail themselves of if they so choose, too.
Yes.
Alan, can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Yes, I've been here on the peninsula for about 5 years now, about 4.5 years. I came from the Seattle-Tacoma area, where I'd been in advertising and communications for about 15 years. Prior to that, I'd also been a public affairs officer for the Army, which was primarily crisis communications and crisis management.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of hot topics.
Right.
And I've been at the hospital for a little over a year now in the public relations and marketing program. Mm-hmm. And I've also been involved with business development.
Mm-hmm. Well, you sure are doing a great job there at OBH. I really appreciate the level of communications that you've given to me and the community at large. So.
Well, thank you. We do have a lot of exciting programs going on at the hospital, and I think we're all feeling that energy mm-hmm. within the staff. And, we're really just shining the spotlight on what's going on.
Mm-hmm. We just had a story that you provided in the paper a week or two ago about the new oncology program. It's been, there has been an oncology presence at the hospital for some time, but this seems to be a much heightened focus on oncology, if I understand correctly.
You're absolutely right. Dr. Law is just a dynamic person. He's mm-hmm. just so gracious, and his patients love him. He's had patients following him from Oregon City to come out mm-hmm. here. The story behind that is primarily Dr. Law was working two clinics, one full-time in Portland and one here along the coast, mm-hmm. or actually several along the coast here. And he approached the CEO one day and said, I'm thinking of retiring. Mm-hmm. Well, the CEO just took the spin right out of that and said, well, why don't you retire over here? And uh-huh. Dr. Law took him up on that and basically said, where's my contract? I'm ready to start. And he's just been so dynamic, and he's brought a lot of energy to the hospital. The oncology staff loves him, and the program is just blossoming. Mm-hmm. We're very pleased with Dr. Law. There's such a burgeoning need here in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what he saw, and he felt very strongly about moving here.
Well, it says, I think, a lot about the platform at OBH and the medical staff, nursing staff, and administrative personnel that he felt comfortable with making that decision to essentially relocate a pretty sophisticated medical specialty to a small coastal hospital.
Yeah, and he said it was the staff. Mm-hmm. That was the driving, you know, the driving reason behind his decision. He just loved working with the staff.
Mm-hmm. There are a number of other interesting, I think, specialties and services available at OBH. We could skim over the top of a few of them. One that particularly caught my eye in our earlier discussion on the topic was the bone densitometry. That's a mouthful for me. Program, and that's something that you're engaged in to a great extent, Carla. We've got a demographic really coast-wide, but on the peninsula it's particularly the case that we have an older population by and large. You know, we're 10 years since the last census, but in the 2000 census it was shown that Pacific County as a whole has one of the most senior populations in the entire state of Washington. I think it's probably done nothing but grow more so in the intervening period, and that stands to reason that people in their retirement years oftentimes want to come to the coast and enjoy the lifestyle that it offers. And having a dynamic medical community is one of the things that really makes that possible as a lifestyle and economic model. Can you tell me a little bit more about the bone density program that you and Women's Medical Center are involved in?
Well, when we were discussing about bringing it over to Ocean Beach Medical Hospital, there was a lot of talk about the population and the elderly population and where it was currently available for them, which was either across the river here in Astoria, or it was they had to go to Longview. So for a lot of the population, being able to get places for appointments for preventative medication, including the bone density, the mammography, pap smears, if they had an abnormal pap smear, being able to have procedures done. So when we looked at all of that, it's like, what can we bring to the peninsula for them to make it more convenient for that population of individuals? And that's when we decided, well, the bone density would be a great one. Trying to bring in a digital mammography would be great. I went to a course a year ago in Pennsylvania to do colposcopies for abnormal pap smears. So just being able to provide more care for the patients where they didn't have to make that travel commitment. Mm-hmm. And so that was part of our philosophy. Part of why we opened the women's clinic was because we didn't have that opportunity for patients. They were either having to come to Astoria, they were having to go to Longview, they were having to go to Portland or Tacoma. So basically saw a need that was there for elderly population, younger population, the teenagers, mm-hmm. And getting education out there for them and having that ability for them available.
The women's clinic, we should note, is not, it's sort of on the hospital campus, broadly defined, but it's across the street from the hospital, mm-hmm. right?
Correct.
We'll throw this information in at the end of the half hour, too, but perhaps you could give us the phone number or best way to for people to make appointments there if they choose to now, and then we'll revisit it.
Okay. If they'd like to make an appointment, we're open from 8:30 to 5, Monday through Friday, and our number is 360-642-6498.
Okay. I was interested that you said, too, that while it's a women's health center, it offers a broad spectrum of essentially family practice services for women and their children of both genders up to age 18. So if people need immunizations or checkups, sport checkups, whatever, they can do it through your clinic.
They can do it through our clinic. What I like the way I like to practice and the way that's been really beneficial and supported through the hospital is having the availability to offer multiple services, including primary care, preventative care. I like to have my patients be actively participating in their health care, so an education component for them is there. I like to let them know what they can do to make their health better rather than just sitting there and me telling them, this is what you, need to do. This is the pill you need to take. You could do lifestyle. You could do exercise. You can do nutrition. So, in fact, we're offering educational talks on a monthly basis that's free to the public to come in. The next one's in April, and it's going to be on breast health, mastitis, breast cancer, fibrocystic breast disease. And that one's April 21st at 5:30 in the evening. And then asking the public what they would like me to talk about. I'm also doing a talk at the high school at a health class on sexually transmitted diseases. Mm-hmm. One of the seniors is doing their senior project by following me and then going out and talking about sexually transmitted diseases. So doing that component also. But we do children up to 18, both boys and girls. And then I do females anywhere from newborns all the way up to, I have a 102-year-old patient. So with special interest in fibromyalgia and urinary incontinence right now is what I'm focusing on this year. So,
Now you mentioned digital mammography. Mm-hmm. That is a program that's new or coming to
It's one that's we're hopefully coming soon. Mm-hmm. We are in the process of doing some fundraising for that so that we can have that updated equipment and have that offered for our patients too.
In what way does that differ from just the ordinary mammography that women may be familiar with?
It allows a little bit more manipulation of views so that rather than bringing them back for a secondary mammography, they can manipulate it where it can see different views of the breast, so maybe alleviating some of that extra cost for them or return visits.
Right. Well, I know that for my own wife and many other women, just finding the time and energy to come in for an appointment in the first place is a challenge. And so anything you can do in one visit, I'm sure, is to everyone's advantage.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Yes. Switching back to the hospital more generally, tell me a little bit, Alan, about the state of the medical staff there. You know, what sorts of range of services can people obtain at the hospital these days?
Well, we have six primary care providers, including Carla. Mm-hmm. We have Dr. Fabiano, who has just begun a nuclear medicine heart stress test program at the hospital, which is a new process for us, a new program. And it's drawn a lot of attention because, again, the demographic is there for us. And that began in November. Also, we have instituted a new dietary program, which is basically room service, so that patients can order food when they want it and how they want it. And that has been a big bonus and a benefit for the community, because people don't always want to eat when you want to feed them, and they have a little more choice with this now, and it's been received overwhelmingly positively. Mm-hmm. So those are a couple of the programs we've instituted. As Carla said, we are in the process of obtaining digital mammography. Mm-hmm. I just finished putting pretty much the final pieces, final touches on a narrative for a grant that we're hoping to help alleviate some of the cost of that. Because when the hospital originally started looking at digital mammography, the cost of the machinery was close to $500,000. Mm-hmm. Now, the good news is that has plummeted exponentially, but it's still about $250,000. Mm-hmm. And we're looking at funding it through our foundation. The hospital has a foundation, and we've raised roughly $94,000-$95,000 towards the purchase of that machine. And we're looking at hopefully getting some significant grant funding. And the hospital is also going to be kicking in a lot of money as far as the capital budget expenditures are concerned. Mm-hmm. But we're looking at doing that this year. We think it can happen this year, and we're very hopeful.
Well, that's an impressive fundraising effort in a small community. This is Matt Winters. We're here after Deadline, our cooperative show with KMUN and the Daily Astorian, this morning talking with Carla Reinhart and Alan Kraft from Ocean Beach Hospital in Iwako. It's a really great little hospital. If those of you, particularly in Clatsop County, haven't been to Ilwaco in recent years, you may not know that the community invested millions of dollars in a new hospital facility. Oh, how long has it been now? Is it 5 years or so, you think, Alan, since
it's
that hospital?
It's been about 5 years, and in 2008, there was another expansion. We expanded the nursing wing and added it was a total remodel of about 8,400 square feet, and that ended in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And that has just really helped just expand the campus and the services that we're able to offer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a separate detached Ocean Beach Medical Clinic just across the parking lot, and then Carla's facility, which is just across the street. So it makes a really nice tight little physical group of medical facilities that conveniently is located on what amounts to high ground for the peninsula, which is always a pet bugaboo of mine in a tsunami area, that we have all too many facilities located about 8 feet off the sea level. It's not good planning in many cases, but I think the hospital and the community leaders that put it there to be commended for doing that. Carla, I know that you've been involved in things like the Women's Heart to Heart Luncheon across the river, which has just recently taken place, but has turned into, I think, a pretty dynamic annual event that really focuses a lot of attention on the still, I think, underappreciated nature of women's heart risk. Can you talk about that with us a little bit?
Yeah, they hold the Heart to Heart once a year and do some great educational components again, which I've seen there's been a huge need for education. And women basically will make decisions, family decisions, for the rest of the family. So the more information that they can have in regards to the health, the more information that that family has in regards to their health. So last year I did a talk on cardiovascular health for women in regards to heart-related pain, because they do present differently than men do. And so there was a lot of misconceptions out there on heart disease for women, so that was presented. This year they did some talks on nutrition, breast health, sleep apnea, so which is a huge component for women also, the sleep apnea portion is, and in regards to fibromyalgia or some chronic fatigue syndrome that is more prevalent in women than it is in men. So, and again, the educational component we've felt on the peninsula was lacking or wasn't available for patients. So that's why we've started doing these monthly educational talks that are free to give them more information for their health care.
Mm-hmm. Are those at the hospital itself or at your clinic?
The ones that I'm offering are at the women's clinic.
Mm-hmm.
Once a month in the evening at 5:30, and like I said, they're free. We ask that they call and make reservations, so we make sure we've got enough people or enough room in case we need to move it.
Mm-hmm.
The last one, I gave a talk on menopause, and I had about 12 people that showed up for that talk. So
I should note, promote those actively in the Chinook Observer for anybody that wants to keep tabs on them. You said, Ellen, that Dr. Fabiano, who I would note is just wildly popular.
That he is.
Is it nuclear medicine that he's involved in?
Yes, for heart stress tests.
Okay.
He and Dan Burns, our respiratory therapist, have begun that program. And they're booked out pretty solidly on it. They didn't realize when they started this program how popular it would be or how great of a need there was.
Mm-hmm.
But it has become a burgeoning program. Mm-hmm. And they are very much busy and excited about it.
Now, we're both, neither of us intrinsically medical people, so you may not be the guy to ask, but what the heck is nuclear medicine? It sounds kind of scary.
Sound kind of scary, but it's not. No. They take a radio pharmaceutical and they inject it into a patient, and it basically spreads a dye.
Mm-hmm.
And the dye is in the system for about 7 minutes, and they graph what's going on with the body, what's going on with the organs. so they can get a better read and a better look at what's going on, particularly with your heart. That way they don't have to invade you surgically, so to speak.
Well, I'm for that.
As are the patients.
Right.
So it really is very revealing.
I think you do sort of a mobile, is it MRI?
Yes, we have a mobile MRI.
That comes in, what, weekly, monthly?
It comes in weekly, and it depends on what the schedule is and how many patients we have lined up.
But if your doctor has prescribed that diagnostic test, it too can be performed locally without a need to travel.
And we do that in conjunction with a collaborative. We belong to a rural collaborative of hospitals in Western Washington. There are about 8 hospitals. And so we're able to buy some of these services contractually at a reduced rate, where we're able to spread the cost around. So we're not necessarily footing the bill entirely, but everybody's pitching in.
Do other services or providers, in addition to the MRI, come in on that program? Or is it limited to the MRI now?
Are you asking if we have providers from in the community?
Well, I'm just familiar, I guess, from things. I have such glow-in-the-dark white skin that I can get melanoma from looking at pictures of the sun almost. And so I guess from my own sort of selfish standpoint, I have a heck of a time sometimes finding dermatology services. And I'm just wondering if Ocean Beach Hospital manages to... do that sort of expansion.
We do have some visiting physicians who come in periodically on a regular basis. Unfortunately, with dermatology, it's one of those services that is in high demand. And we did have a dermatologist on staff for a while.
Right. I know that hospitals in general in Washington State, and I suppose everywhere in the United States, fit into sort of a framework where, a community hospital like OBH fits into a broader kind of network of hospitals. It seems as if a lot of times trauma cases go from OBH, someplace else, serious ones. How does that all fit together and work? Doesn't OBH, if in certain cases, transfer patients to, St. Peter's in Longview, for instance, or...
Well, usually when we have a trauma and it's a life flight, for example, those go into Vancouver or Portland because those are regional trauma centers.
I see.
So our physician's job primarily is to stabilize and then to transport.
Okay. The hospital has a heliport pad in its new parking lot, and that's always a kind of dramatic event for people to see that life flight come in. So we are sort of connected to the outside world in a big way there. One of the big dramatic improvements at the hospital that I certainly see probably more frequently than I'd like to is the ER, which has really upgraded just enormously in the years since it was in the old hospital, which I don't suppose you saw, but it was like visiting someone's garage or something almost, in a way.
Dwayne LaPointe, our chairman of the Board of Commissioners, has commented on that a number of times, that you used to be able to sit in the lobby and you'd be knee-to-knee with somebody else.
Right.
So there is a big difference. There's been a transformation in that.
I don't know that anybody was quite so cavalier to do this, but you could have probably come up with a fairly good dramatic evening's entertainment some days, just finding an excuse to go down and sit in the ER and watch the crowd come and go. Does OBH have the capacity for local doctors to consult with doctors away from the area and around the world on things? It seems as if with broadband internet, for instance, that hospitals and medical providers can now shoot MRI scans and all sorts of things out into the rest of the world for interpretation.
Well, we're actually working on upgrading our information technology. That is the that is a big, big initiative, and we're in the process of working on a number of programs. We're in this collaborative that I mentioned. We're involved in what's called telemedicine and telepharmacy, and that's been a big improvement where we are able to collaborate.
Carla, could you tell me about your staff at the women's clinic and how that all fits together?
There are three of us in the women's clinic. There's myself, I have a front office / medical records person, Lori, and then my medical assistant, Tammy, who actually I've worked with her for about 3 years now. We worked together previously, and then she relocated when I relocated to go do women's health, and so she works over there with me. And you were talking about the capability of working with other providers and specialists and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm dual licensed in both Oregon and Washington, so I can see patients from both states without a problem and write prescriptions for them. I have a great working relationship with other specialist either in Astoria or Longview. I just get on the phone and they will get on the phone right with me. I don't have to go through their nurse or anything. So there is a great collaborative in the area to be able to meet those needs.
You have patients that come from this side of the river over to Ilwaco for continuing care.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it can all really fit together well. It sounds like just a really neat kind of partnership between the medical providers on the two sides of the river in that.
It's a great relationship.
That's great. It looks like probably about the next really big event for the hospital, aside from these interesting ongoing monthly talks, is the health fair coming in September. What do you look ahead to for that, Alan?
Well, we're looking at a number of issues right now. We just yesterday, Tammy Jeffries, who's also an administrative staff member, and myself, we met with a couple of people from the police force as well as the EMS service in order to put together a grant to help fund child safety seats.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, one of the things we're looking at as far as offering that for the community at the health fair.
Mm-hmm.
And we also do lab tests at that time. And last year, I think we were offering tests, you know, some of them were around $100. And that was a community service. We were offering those free.
Hmm.
So we're really, it's a community education component. And more so than ever before, we're starting to head that direction. Hmm. It used to be that healthcare primarily was more of a paternalistic kind of relationship where the doctor would tell you what you would do. And as Carla has pointed out, that's no longer the case. More and more people want to be involved in their healthcare, and the providers want them to be involved so that, you know, they're taking ownership of their own health.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're looking at more and more is a community education, community awareness. Particularly, we have a large diabetes issue in our community. So that's another area that we're looking at.
It's your body and take responsibility for it. Let's once more, as I promised, give phone numbers for anyone who might want to make appointments at the Women's Center or elsewhere.
The Women's Center phone number is 360-642-6498, and we're open from 8:30 to 5 Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm. Alan, any additional comment?
Yes, we also have the clinic itself at 360-642-3747. Our providers are accepting new patients.
All right.
We also have a great orthopedic surgeon, Dr. McDonald.
Well.
So I didn't want to not mention the fact that he's just a great surgeon, great person to be around, and we do have a good program in orthopedics and in surgery at the hospital.
Let's get him in for another show soon. Well, thank you both very much for being here. This is Matt Winters, After Deadline at KMUN, and I'll talk with you again soon. Mm-hmm.